When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Standing on the North Bank. This is a Wales Online production here. My name is Matt Davis, Ian Mitchell Moore with me, as per usual. Mitch, another interesting 24 hours in the history of Swansea City Football Club. Monday morning, there wasn't really much of a story there. And then Chris Hughton's sacked at Brighton and it all kicks off.
Yeah, we've been talking about contracts and things like that for so long now, and you know, players potentially coming in and leaving. But yeah, this sort of came out of the blue really with Chris Hughton getting the sack. I mean, I can understand that they wanted a change in direction. You know, they had, was it 3 wins from the last 23 games? Ultimately, they stayed up because they, you know, they did have a decent first half of the season. But whether you agree with it or not, they've chosen to go in another direction, and you know, they've identified, unfortunately, from this side's perspective, they've identified Graham Potter as their number one target. So yeah, it did come out of the blue, and you know, as we stand, there's still no major developments, but yeah, it's going to be a hectic few days to say the least.
Yeah, so from the Brighton perspective, I mean, I know it's particularly a bit cold-blooded, the fact that it happened the day after the season, but it's probably the perfect time to replace your manager. You think you're the furthest point away from the start of the next season. The football for Brighton really wasn't great. You can see it, from both sides of the coin. But I think, from a Brighton perspective, it had to be done, and now is the time to do it. Like I said, that's got knock on effects, consequences for Swansea. So, give us the latest situation on Potter. What have the club said? And where do we exactly stand at the moment?
Yeah, so bear in mind, we're recording this on Tuesday afternoon. It's what we're on about 4 o'clock now. So we've heard that Swansea have turned down an initial approach from Brighton to speak with Graham Potter. So, but as we understand it, you know, he is number one choice. They've got apparently at least two contenders, but it sounds more like three. Phil Neville is understood to be one of the other ones as well. Of course, he's got the Women's World Cup next month with England in France. But yeah, Graham Potter is the number one. But Swansea determined to keep hold of him. You know, he's had a great debut season, and it's all about building for the future, because, you know, let's be honest, I think everyone could see what he was building here, the players, the fans, coaching staff. So yeah, there's you know, you can fully understand why the club are desperate to keep him. So they've rejected that initial approach, but you know, let's be honest, that's far from the end of it. There's going to be you know, it's going to keep on developing probably as we speak. So yeah, it's far from over.
This is posturing, I'd have thought, from both sides at the moment. Swansea are probably
100%,
yeah, are always going to reject the first approach. Going back slightly, who else is on the bookies list? Who's in the top? Sort of, who's in the running at the moment?
With the bookies,
Phil Neville.
Yeah, he's on there. Frank Lampard's another one. Yeah. You know, obviously, they've got the playoffs as we record it tomorrow night. So, you know, if they don't go up, would he consider that personally? I don't think he will. I think he's, in similar fashion to what Potter's done here, you know, I think he's probably happy with what he's building at Derby. David Wagner's another one, but obviously he's not long had the Schalke job, so I can't really see where that stands. And probably the other one's a bit of an outsider is Slavisa Jokanović, who was at Fulham. So yeah, there's a few decent names there, but you know, as we've seen with the odds as well, Graham Potter is by far the favourite there.
Dan Ashworth is the technical director at Brighton. He would have worked with Neville.
The FA.
There could be, you know, a relationship between those two that might see him push Potter close. But as I say, it does seem to be that Graham is the man they want.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, there has been some suggestions that Dan Ashworth's been keeping tabs on Swansea in recent weeks, so it'd be interesting to know where and when he was he at some of the games. But you know, like you say, that, you know, as much as they do want Graham Potter, they are going to keep their options open in the event that they can't get him. Or, you know, let's not rule out the fact that Graham Potter stays, because he's repeatedly stated that he's enjoying building this club, like in similar fashion to what he did in Sweden with Östersund. So, you know, until we hear more from Potter, and you know, if he doesn't decide that he wants to go, then you know they are going to have to explore their other options. So, you know, at the time, as we record, as I keep saying, it's, you know, they're going to go hell for leather to try and get him, but you know, until his stance is revealed, then you know we can't really comment further on who else may or may not be in the running.
Yet to see one Swansea fan that would criticise or blame him for going, though.
I just don't.
You know, he's had such a difficult job. He's had the rug pulled out for him a couple of times.
It's been so tough, and I mean, he's brought that optimism back, hasn't he? Not only that, but the philosophy, everything that goes with it. You know, he's often spoken about that remit of restoring the identity. Call it the Swansea way, you know, if you like. And let's be honest, I think he's done that in abundance. You know, and everyone's bought into it, which has been crucial as well. Not just the players, but you know, staff, fans, everybody. So, yeah, if he was to go, you would feel like you were hitting the reset button. But as you said, you know, if he gets a big offer from elsewhere or you know, Premier League, let's be honest, you wouldn't blame him for turning it down because it's a big opportunity for him, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think even if, as I said to you earlier before we came on air, that even if everything was particularly rosy at Swansea, leaving a Championship club for a Premier League club is only probably only natural anyway, isn't it?
It's
career progression. You've got to factor in the money as well, which would be considerably more. You know, I certainly wouldn't blame him for leaving.
Not at all. No, likewise. I mean, let's be honest, it would be a travesty for Swansea. You know,
yes,
I think everyone accepts that, but you know, he's been nothing but a professional since he's been at this club. The way he's treated him, he's so much respect. And let's be honest, the two windows have been incredibly tough for him, especially that January one on deadline day. He spoke to us on deadline day, funnily enough, before the Bristol City game, and he looked a bit of a broken man, and you just really felt for him that day because it was so tough for him. And you bear in mind they lost three players in the late hours of that day. Dan James and Leroy Fur nearly went as well. You know, at the time he met us, he was probably thinking that they were gone, and all the while no one was coming in, so he must have just thinking, what on earth was he doing at this club? But you know, credit to him, he's bounced back from that and probably produced some of the best performances since then, you know, in the latter stages of the season.
So in terms, in pure black and white terms here, we're saying that if he wants to go, he'll go.
That's my gut feeling. You know, I can't see a way where he says he wants to go and it doesn't happen, because
You
know, financially Brighton can offer better than what Swansea can. You know, I think everyone knows that. The club obviously do want to keep him and they will do everything in their power, but they are under no illusions as to how good an offer that he could be offered elsewhere.
I suppose the club will just hope that they can play towards that. As you mentioned there before, he's always talked about this project, and they'll hope that he has that sort of willingness to see that through.
Yeah, 100%.
I think that is the only way they could perhaps persuade him to stay at the Liberty. I think that's the only way I see it.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, on that deadline day I mentioned, with his press conference, he spoke about how difficult a conversation he had with his son, I think, who's roughly 7 or 8 years old now, you know, having to up sticks from Sweden, come to a new country, making new friends at a new school. And you know, his little boy was really struggling, and you know, you sympathise because it's a massive move, you know, especially for a kid that age. So he took a lot into account when he took this job. So if he does move again, he wouldn't make any decision lightly. So you know, it's a big call for him. And let's not forget, Swansea took a punt on him as well, because he's not managed in this country before. You know, Sweden with Östersund was his only job. As great a job he did there, you know, he hadn't done it in this country. So, but I think, you know, you can see why, because he's thrived this year. He's been excellent. So, yeah, it's a really tough situation for the club at the moment. But yeah, it does feel like it is down to Graham himself.
I think there is an argument there that, well, you could make one that, you know, that the club took a gamble on him. Perhaps he should show them some sort of loyalty, but this is football at the end of the day.
Yeah.
There's not much.
And when you're talking about
your
salary being, well, I say doubled, potentially doubled, you know, significantly increased, I think is a fair way of saying it, but let's be honest, that's the short and, you know, short of it.
I think that's, you know, I think everyone could take into consideration that if someone's offering you, let's say, double the amount of money that you earn in your current job, Well, I think every single person would have would take that offer. You wrote a good piece earlier. They're usually pretty good. Some are all right. About the impact of what it would be on Swansea if Potter were to leave, and we both said it would be a disaster. Not the piece, but the fact that he left.
Yeah.
The fact that if he were to go, that it would leave Swansea. I did sort of say that, you know, they would fold like a pack of cards. I don't think it would go to that extent, but there's been so much good that he has been responsible for over the last 11 months that is then pretty much wiped out. We're then back to pressing the reset button again, as you mentioned.
I was just going to use that phrase, yeah. I mean, that's the concern, because, you know, we all know the state they were in last year, and the owners, whatever your thoughts on them, they said that it was time to hit the reset button, and, you know, they were right. They did that with bringing a new manager in who's coped with extreme adversity and coped with it really well, and still managed to get, you know, 10th place finish, quarterfinals of the FA Cup, and let's be honest, they weren't far off the playoffs in the, you know, in the end. A couple of results here and there, they weren't too far off. So, you know, you just hope that he could have carried on building that type of thing. But yeah, in terms of the impact, I mean, you know, it affects the players. They've bought into his methods, and, you know, they, how many times have they spoken about how much they love working under this setup, and the fans, they're enjoying watching the football again after, you know, let's be honest, about three, or maybe even touch more, about 3 years or so of really tough football to watch, especially in the latter years of the Premier League. So
and what, what do the young players think that he is? In many ways, he was forced to pick players from the academy, because a lot of the first team established players were either sold or were farmed out on loan. But what do they think now, if he were to leave? You know, this was the man who put so much faith in us, and then say the new guy that comes in, whoever that may be, perhaps doesn't have that sort of same approach towards youth team players or to you know, sort of style that's coming through the ranks.
Yeah, we don't know, do we? I mean, it's all hypothetical.
That is hypothetical.
I totally agree with you, because, you know, if it does happen that Potter says he wants to leave, then, you know, that's a grim scenario that they're going to have to deal with. You know, whoever does come in, whether they promote from within or bring in a manager or a coach from elsewhere, that's going to be one of the key things, because players are going to think, well, you know, where do they stand? Because they've had so much faith shown in them by Potter. You know, you can argue through necessity and stuff as well, which largely it has been, but the talent's obviously there as well. You know, Graham Potter said that so many times. It's not just a case of, right, I've got no one, you have to play. It's, you know, I believe that you're a good player. Look at Matt Grimes. The consensus was that he was not good enough to be a top level footballer, and yet he's won Swansea's Player of the Season. So, and there's numerous examples of how players have improved under him. So yeah, they'll have their concerns, and rightly so as well. But like I say, until we hear from Graham Potter, until his stance is made clear, I don't really think we can go a bit further beyond that, can we?
It's a good point that you make about improving. The football has improved, and individuals within that squad have improved. Pretty much every single player has improved. So, certainly some have really sort of stepped up. You know, obviously Dan James, they say Matt Grimes. There's so much that he has done that he's installed that sort of that feel good factor about the club again. Especially when there are so many problems off the field, he has sort of instilled this playing style again, and has fostered the young players, especially, seem to love playing for that shirt.
They do.
I think Potter is such a big part of that. You can see it when he goes across to the stand at the end of each game. He really does care about this about this club. Perhaps we're speaking about this with sort of rose tinted spectacles here, and perhaps a bit of wishful thinking, but there is a connection between the fan base and the manager.
There is, 100%, and that's probably the hope that the fans can have. You know, he's a year into a 3-year deal at the moment. He's still got 2 years left. And let's be honest, contracts don't often mean anything these days, but it's more the fact that whether he wants to carry on building what he's already started here. So he's got a great rapport with everyone at the club. You know, I've mentioned it already, the players adore him and his style. You know, I remember speaking to Ollie McBurney, might have been up at Forest or one of the away games, and the latter stages, and he just said he absolutely loves it, and he's got no gripes whatsoever with everything that he's done since he's been at the club. And you look at him, 24 goals this season. You know, he's had his faith put in him, and he's repaid that faith. So
yeah, next point on our list here, I don't particularly want to tempt fate, but he probably would look at players. If he was going to Brighton, he'd probably think,
yeah,
there are a number of players that I work with at Swansea who would be easily gettable. They wouldn't cost the earth. He obviously knows what the financial situation is at the club. Yeah. You know, he brought Bursant Celina to the club for three, four million?
Three to four, I believe, yeah. But that's as much as we say it's hypothetical. You know, if the unthinkable does happen, then that's only natural. You know, there's going to be some sort of there'll be talks between the clubs and as to what they, you know, whether they make an agreement. But like, you know, we see it. How many times do we see it? You know, yeah. I was going to list examples, but there's far too many where it does happen. So.
Well, Brendan did it with Joe, didn't he? He took Joe to Anfield with him. So
the messy situation with Everton poaching Marco Silva from Watford, and then that happened, and then all of a sudden Richarlison goes to Everton. You know, there's so many examples of where it does happen, and you know, whether there are laws that certain ones can be breached from now and then, and you know, Everton were investigated for that particular one. But let's be honest, it does still happen, whether it's right or wrong. So I think, you know, again, it's hypothetical, but it'd be on. Yeah, we couldn't rule that out, could we?
No.
If he did go, players following suit.
I suppose, you know, wondering what happens next. Now, this is quite a fluid situation. As I said, we're recording Tuesday afternoon. Not expecting anything to happen imminently, but presumably now the ball is back in Brighton's court, whether they come back with another offer. They'd have to come back with another approach.
Yeah, it's their call now. So, you know, what do they do? Do they come in heavy and up the ante, so to speak? Which, let's be honest, is probably going to happen if he's their man. You know, Swansea have made their stance clear, but let's be honest, there's only so long you can do that, because for the reasons we've mentioned, the pull of a Premier League club is huge. So, and Swansea know that. You know, they're honest enough to say that. So, but they do want to keep him. So, yeah, they'll be a bit hardball. They'll be negotiating, but there's going to come to a point where, you know, there's got to be serious conversations, and again, it's probably going to fall on Graham Potter. Does he want to stay, or does he want to go and try himself elsewhere? And you know, is he money motivated? Is that another factor? Personally, I don't think he is, but you know, we never really know, do we? So let's. I think we can brace ourselves for some stronger approaches from Brighton, to say the very least.
I think so. I think the next few days are going to be really quite telling. Let's finish it off then with, I've got written down here about Daniel James, which we talk about on virtually every podcast we've done. What's the latest there? I think Manchester United were the team on everyone's lips at the end of last week, weren't they?
Yeah, there was a lot of links with you know, him going to the upper echelons of the Premier League, and Man United was one of the ones. I think it was TalkSport that touted him for, maybe Jim White. So, but from what we understand, and you know, the people we've spoken to in Manchester have said the same from their end, that there's been no official contact from Manchester United for Daniel James. So again, that's not to rule out the possibility of him going there. You know, Ryan Giggs, as there's been reports that he's put in words to the top brass at Old Trafford about him, obviously giving him his debut for Wales against Albania, and then obviously giving him his first competitive start against Slovakia, where he had a phenomenal game, scored the winner. So, yeah, it's not to say it's never going to happen, but as far as we understand it, there hasn't been an official approach from Manchester United for Daniel James.
Oh, it's going to be a long, long summer. It's not even June yet.
I know. We're only 8 days after the end of the season from Blackburn. It's at Ewood Park in the sun, only just over a week ago.
Ridiculous. Right, we'll knock it on the head there. I think, I'm sure that we'll probably be recording quite soon again. There's likely to be movement one way or the other in the next 2 or 3 days, I thought so.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. I think, you know, like I say, I think you can only expect Brighton to up the ante now, and you know, it's all of a sudden we can't really talk about other things anymore. You know, contracts, signings, departures, everything.
Everything's on hold until the manager's future is sorted.
Certainly, yeah. strap yourselves in, folks.
Right, okay, well, hopefully next time that we are speaking to you, we're talking about Potter staying.
Yeah, we shall see.
We shall see.
We'll see.
Right, thanks very much, folks.
Cheers all.